Thank you for joining our family at Bartlett Baptist Church. We are a worshiping family, making disciples by reaching out to our community and embracing each other in fellowship. It is our desire to help people mature into Christ-likeness. For more information or for additional resources, please stay tuned after today's message.
I don't want to forget to introduce my wife. She's back there in the back. Diane, you can stand again. I know you enjoyed that so much in the first service. Thank you so much. She's the brains behind the operation. She truly is. I mean, she gets it done. If you were here packing eggs, she just doesn't stop. Until about 5 last night, then I think you were about ready to collapse and go. And I thank you so much for your support, Diane. And there's many, many days I think she loves me, but there was this one day. And we had the, if you're like one of these people that watches your clock, like when the pastor starts preaching, I haven't started yet. So there was... Just so you know, and I'm in no bigger hurry than anybody in this room. Diane's sitting in the back, not because she's backslidden or anything, but because when I end today, we're going to beg your forgiveness. We are literally going to go out and get on the road, and the weather is not good where we're heading towards, so you can pray for us today. But, I think she loves me most days, but there was this day, and I haven't started preaching yet. But anyways, we decided, we have this past December, we celebrated our 30th anniversary. Amen. It was cool. It was good, and very excited about it. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next anniversary, but I think I outdid myself. Now the men are going to walk out of here hating me for this, but this is just, it is what it is. She has had to tolerate, put up with me, not kill me for 30 years. And I'm wound up like a top 90% of the time, if not 100. So on our 30th anniversary, really about 2 years prior, I began to plan it. I'm like, this has got to be big. This has got to be epic. We started planting the church about our 20th anniversary. We hadn't really planned it yet, but we started planning it. And I had left my job, which was, she says she supported me. I don't know how cool she really thought that was. But anyways, we did that. And so I'm thinking, like, man, I got to do something great for the 30th anniversary. So I began planning about 2 years ahead. I began taking pictures of what she would wear. She thought I was the biggest creeper on earth. But anyway, so I fast forward to, she had gone off. We got a new grandbaby, and she's been spending a lot of time out there. She came home from visiting the grandbaby in Vegas. And when she got back, there was 30 gifts at the house. There was one for her to open every day for each day for 30 years. And so for the next 30 days, she got to open 30 gifts leading up to our anniversary, and she thought that was pretty cool, and that was it. Well, the weekend of our anniversary, I tell all you this to get to a story, all right? So just bear with me. I haven't started preaching yet. But anyways, we take off that day, and guys, this is just awesome. You can call me for pointers or hate me when we're done, but I had all of her clothes, all of her stuff already packed in the car, and she didn't know it. She thought we were going out to eat. We went to the airport, and we went on a cruise, okay? And that was our 30th anniversary. Oh, don't all yet, because this gets bad, all right? This story takes an ugly turn, all right? This does relate to my message, but I'm not preaching yet. So anyways, so we get there, and we get on the cruise, and Diane's like, she was actually overwhelmed and actually quite anxious. She's very much a type A personality, even more so than me. She has a hard time admitting that, but she is. She likes to be in control of things. She was totally out of control. So we go cruise to Mexico, and she's like, I want to do something nice for him. This is what she told me, and it was all a lie. Guys, I'm here to tell you, again, I'm not preaching yet. This is just a public service announcement. What she decided to do was to, I had to check in my man card. I didn't want this. This is not something I wanted. She booked me a pedicure. how many men in here would say, I've not had a pedicure, okay? Raise your hand. I've not had one. It's okay. Raise it. You guys still got your man card? It's good. Keep it. Don't do it. All the women are lying. They're lying about every bit of it. There is nothing good that happens. It's a horrible experience. I get in there, and she has me take my shoes, my socks off, and roll my pants legs up, and I don't like people touching me to begin with. And so I sit down there and got this big old chair, and Diane's going, you're going to get in this big comfortable chair, and it's going to massage you, and they're going to rub your legs and going through all this different stuff. And for the next 40 minutes, I was tortured beyond belief. I know what it was like. She gets out this big old cheese grater thing, starts rubbing on my feet. She gets out these, These nail clippers, I was raised around horses, and theirs were smaller. She got these clippers out, and she's doing this. It felt like a scene from a movie that I won't mention. But anyways, my point is, I go through all this, and man, I'm not kidding you. She cut me. I'm bleeding. I just didn't know. I'm not lying. I'm not making up. Ask Diane, am I lying about any of this? No, I'm not, am I? I go back to the room. I've got bandages on my feet, all right? Guys, I'm telling you something. Just listen to me. From the bottom of my heart, no matter what they tell you, it's not true. They're awful. It's an awful experience. Learn it from me. I feel like I need to pass that along to you today. Well, it does tie to my message. And it's because we're going to talk today about hate, murder, and killing. But what I want to tell you is that God has moved in my soul. I did not kick the person who was working on me. I don't hate her. I hated Diane for a minute. But anyways, I really didn't, hon. I knew where your heart was. And that's the part that we really want to come down to today, and we'll get to it in a minute, is that our motives and our emotions about things is a heart issue. And although that's a funny story, and I really did want to kick her, but not Diane, but the girl that was doing the thing. I'm getting cold chills just talking about it. It was awful. That's a funny story, and I'm going to tell you another one later that won't be that long, I promise. But God wants to work on our hearts today. And we have to know the intentions of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to know what they mean. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Well, we have a heart issue that we have to deal with today as Christians, because I do believe that in this heart issue, it's keeping us from reaching the kingdom of God like we could. I mean, your church, man, what an amazing mechanism you guys have here that you would invest your time in Impact Church, where we were started with 4 people and we're running 155, and I'm back there. I love my church, man. I love being there. I hate not being there. I'm back there in the back in the foyer in between services, looking at the cameras at church to see who's there and who we miss. And it is snowing, by the way. But you know, I look through all those things. I really miss it, and I love it. And you guys are a part of that. And I hear about you going to the Dominican Republic, and I hear about trips that you take, and we've got people going to Mexico today, and people are taking preview trips to India and all types of different things. Here's what I want you to know. That is the outpouring of the love of God, but we have not scratched the surface yet. And sometimes what gets in the way is the idea that we have a heart issue that we have to fix, that we have to take care of. There is a seed within us that I'm going to talk about today that I had people... you won't have this opportunity, we'll be gone, but I had some people in between the services, a lady that walked up to me, she said, hey, I just got to tell you, maybe that was meant just for me today. There was an issue this week here at church. I didn't cover this message with Brother Michael, Todd, or Mark, or anybody before I came. She goes, but there was an issue between one group of people and another, and she goes, we're going to fix it today. And that's just how the Holy Spirit moves and how he works. But I will tell you this, I don't believe in coincidence at all. I don't believe in the coincidence that you're here. I don't believe in the coincidence that you might get something or you would get something. I believe very providentially that God has something to say to each and every one of us here today. And to me, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a mechanism. He has a word, and he has given me this word to give to you today. If you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, the main text of our verse, we're going to be in Exodus. We're going to be in Genesis, we're going to be in Matthew, we're going to be in 1 John. And so if you want to begin to turn to some of those, you can. If you're taking notes, just, you know, take notes and try to keep up. I'm going to move very, very quickly here. Although I do feel like I have the freedom of all the time in the world. There's not a service after this. So 2 hours from now, we'll be just fine. No, it won't. Some of y'all laugh, but anyways, no, it won't be that long. Exodus chapter 20, beginning, and it's really just one verse. I'm in a series at Impact on the Ten Commandments, and that's why the slide and what you see there. And we're breaking this down over 10 weeks. My associate pastor's there today. He's dealing with Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. And we're getting ready for our couples retreat, and it's a pretty raw issue, and I'm not going to get into all that. I'm mad because I didn't get that one, because I'm really kind of angry at some men about some things, so maybe that was why God took me away from that today and brought me here. But we're in the middle of a series on the Ten Commandments, and today I'd like for you to be with us in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 13, and it's the only verse we'll read in this, is that you shall not murder. Now, depending on what translation you're reading, I'm going to guess that most of yours say you shall not murder. There will be some that say you shall not, or thou shalt not kill, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. What I want you to know is that we're going to dig a little deeper into that, and I'm going to share some points with you and dig a little deeper into that, because what I want you to see is that there's a there's a almost a pancake approach. You see this one side of this, thou shalt not murder. And I'm going to say, and I shouldn't really say it in a room this large because I don't know everybody's background, but what I can say is this. I don't know if anybody in here has ever killed anybody, but I can say everybody in here is forgiven. The deep theology behind that song that they just sang of the idea is that your love ran red in my sins and my it's washed as white as snow. That is absolutely the theological deepest truth. It is we that we need to go to the cross and beg God, not for his forgiveness. God sent his son and forgave us of our sins, but we need to surrender to the fact of the idea that I'm no longer in control. I want you to be my Lord, and I want to walk in your path, not on my own. That's what salvation is. Salvation is recognizing Jesus as Lord. But as we look at this, we can say probably for the most part, for most people in this room, well, I've got this commandment down. I can move on to the next one. I've never killed anybody. I'm good. And I don't have any intention to. And I don't think I ever will. And you know what? You probably won't. But it goes way deeper below the surface than what it just in this thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. And I would like to share with you a few points today as we move through that. Point number one, if you're taking notes, murder is more than killing. I'll share this with you from what I would consider to be the Hebrew approach. First, the definition of the mere word murder. And this is a worldly definition, is a Webster's definition, but I also cleared it with our Warren County district attorney as well. But it's the unlawful premeditated killing of one human being by another, or to kill someone unlawfully and with premeditation. That's the definition that the world gives to it. Pretty accurate. We can all get that. We understand it. But if you can picture this, and if I can illustrate this the best that I can, it'd be better if I actually had the apparatus, the mechanism here. If you could picture a high jump, what Moses does, he goes Mount Sinai, comes down, brings the Ten Commandments, and what he does is that God is setting the bar here with this particular commandment and saying, hey, don't kill anybody. Don't murder anybody. And we have to understand that. We have to dig a little bit deeper to know who that bar is for, which is everybody. But the idea and what is behind that bar and get into the original Hebrew. And I don't want to bore you with this. I'm not going to park on it for a long time. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it says, whoever shed man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. You see here, the Bible's getting more and more clear and setting the bar, but not setting it permanently, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment. In the high jump, the bar is movable. We all know that. I'll say I haven't watched the Olympics for a long time because I get tired of the commercials, and they try to go live, and it's on wee hours of the morning and all that stuff, and I don't watch a lot of television anymore. But anyways, the thing is, I remember the high jump. I remember as a kid, I was fascinated by it. I was like, well, you know, I could probably get that height. Then it just goes higher and higher and higher and higher. And it was an incredible height that some of these athletes could just, you know, run and jump over and arch their back. It was just fascinating to me. God sets the bar at a certain level, and then he sends his son, and we'll get to that in a minute. But God is trying to reset things. When that bar gets knocked over by a high jumper, there's a couple of people that come over, they set it back up, and they'll set it back to the height that it was before, and they'll raise it as the competition goes on. What God does here, he sees a mess with the Israelites. He says, man, we've got to reset the bar a bit. It is actually, believe it or not, it's a scientific thing. It's a morality thing. We shouldn't kill people. You don't have to go to any other country, and if they've never read the Word of God, it's not okay to kill people. You'll learn this as you go on mission trips, you do different things. It's just one of those things that's built within us, but God says, I gotta get this down. These people are a mess. And he sends these 10 things and several more, but these 10 and the 10 commandments, and he sets the bar, and he says some things, and then 13 says, thou shalt not kill. Well, there's a couple of different Hebrew words, but one of them is rasah. It's pronounced several different ways, but the way I pronounce it is rasah. And rasah is the word that is prohibited by the Ten Commandments. Rasah has a broader definition than the English word murder. Rasah is murder. I want you to understand that. It's not the idea that there are times when there are justified and there are times when there are legal killings. We need to understand that. I'm not here to debate that with you or to debate capital punishment or all those different things. That's for Todd asked me for some questions for life group and things later on. That's for you guys to debate later on in life groups and community groups and stuff like that. You guys can do that, and you've got some really wise people here at the church to walk you through that. I'm not here to debate that, but I am here to tell you, in fact, that murder is wrong. It's against the law, but it's also against God's word, and this word, rasah, is what is meant when he says murder. So as we look at this, it also refers to carelessness or neglect when someone is killed. That broadens the definition a bit. That caused me some deeper thinking, and that's a whole nother message for another day. But God comes down, he says, thou shalt not commit rasah, and it's murder. So we've got this said, and we understand that it's more than just killing somebody. There's a specificity behind it that God gives us, and he sets the bar where it is. Number two, but murder is a heart issue. Murder is a heart issue that goes to our heart. And I'm going to talk to you in a moment about a seed, S-E-E-D. As I talk with you about this seed, I want you to understand and begin to think about, how is God going to speak in your life today? As I will promise you this, unless you're some extraordinary person, and you may be, I have to allow room for that. You know, people will always say, even somebody said a little while ago, well, you know, I didn't really hate him. Well, and then he went into the storm like, yeah, you kind of did. But what I want to explain to you about this seed is, I want you to begin to, if you would, open up your mind and open up your heart to how God would speak to you today. And in that, that there is no one that's actually exempt from this in this room. There are circumstances and events that may happen in your life that this seed may be planted that we're going to talk about. So I don't want to get into all that right at the moment, but I just want you to understand. I want you to open your heart and open your mind and allow God to speak to you and what may need to change. If you would, turn over with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Love to hear the pages turning. By the way, I'm cool with, you know, I actually do a lot of my Bible electronically now, so on your phones, iPads, whatever you've got there, man, just get the word any way you can. Just do it. Even a group that we support, I don't even know if they're in this area anymore, called the Gideons. They've gone electronic, man. They're passing out cards at the bus stops and hospitals. It's pretty cool, and we're excited about that. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus has come on the scene. The bar is set, but Jesus is here. So we have this bar of thou shalt not murder anybody. But now look at this from the perspective of what Jesus is sharing. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament's good. What they taught you, this is a good thing. We need to learn these things. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will be by no means pass from the law until it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. Shall no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Picture this before we get to verse 21. Jesus has already taken that bar and he's raised it up a couple notches. And then he goes on in verse 21. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, or other words, insults him, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, verse 23. By the way, anytime you see the word therefore, you ought to take a look at what it's there for. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. This isn't something you against your brother has something against you, or vice versa, by the way. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Look at verse 26. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you've paid the last penny. Here's a good key takeaway for today. In other words, remove the unwanted seed before it germinates. Let me explain that. I would guess that each and every one of us here at some time has had this seed of bitterness, jealousy, hatred, anger within us. It may not be there now. But there are some who have decided to continue to carry this. And there are others who are not guarded against it. You know, when you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, Satan's motive is to keep you from sharing your faith with others, to make you bitter, to make you jealous, to make you angry, to make you have aught, to make you think bad things about other people. And you know what I'm talking about. When I say, hey, if there's anybody in here that wants to kill somebody, you better get it straightened out today. There may not be anybody that comes to your mind. But when I say, if there's anybody in here who's angry with somebody else or they're angry with you, we would have many, many hands go up. We get it. We understand it. And what I'm going to share with you before I get to point number three, what I want you to see is that there's many, many things. But I'll tell you what. First of all, jealousy and guilt, anger, malice, I'll even say avoidance. You guys know what I'm talking about. You come to church and you sit in a certain place because you want to make sure you don't see that certain someone. You may even come to the church in the second service because you think the music's cool, but you know you're not going to have to see somebody in the first service. You may be in the grocery store and you'll avoid an aisle because there's someone you see you don't like. There'll be somebody at school that you're walking down the hallway with, and you'll go into a classroom you don't even belong in just to avoid them. It could be for a number of reasons. They may have a problem with you. You might have a problem with them. There's something here that I want us to understand is that we're not all best friends in here today, by no means. I hope not. Vance Havner once said, if you go through your whole life and you've got five best friends you can name on your hand, you're a wealthy person as far as friendship goes. We're acquaintances, but I will tell you this, we're all related. You know what I mean by being related. We've all got relatives, and we've all got relatives we kind of like, relatives we kind of don't. Those relatives that we say we love them, but we'll never go on vacation with them, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you'll avoid a family reunion because of, you know, Cousin Eddie or whatever the case is. But, you know, you got that, didn't you, brother? But anyways, that was bad. I'm going to get yelled about that on the way home. But anyways, it's a long ride, too. But anyways, this goes deeper than just, I don't like you and you don't like me. We hate each other. It goes deeper than that. It's really that you just don't like somebody in the family of God. Young people, I can see y'all sitting together over here and you look good. But at times, and maybe not in this group that's in here this morning, but there are times you just don't like them. Do you know that Jesus says there's no room for that in my family? We're to love one another, get to know one another, have these times of intimacy and prayer and get to know one another on a deeper level. Back to the pedicure. Murder is a heart issue. If any of you now buy me a pedicure, I'm not going to like you. But my wife's heart, and I know her, and I know what she was trying to do. When we laughed about it, we changed my bandages together. I'm not lying. She can ask her. I'm going to read to you verse 26 again. Assuredly, I say to you, by no means you'll get out of there till you've paid the last penny. I would never want to interpret something incorrectly, and I believe there's proper interpretation. And here's what God has said to me by this. I am going to remain in spiritual jail until it's made right. I'm going to miss some things. Some things aren't going to happen. So the bar gets raised just a bit, and that murder and this hatred, and this hatred, this bitterness that germinates, this seed within you that you carry around, it will grow. And it'll grow in your heart. Last thing, number three. Murder increases in a vacuum. Now, we're talking about a love vacuum here, okay? And when you have something that's taken away, and Jesus, you know, he was approached and they said, you know, we've heard all these commandments. We know about the 10, we know about the Old Testament teachings, but Jesus, what is the greatest of them? Narrow it down for us. Keep it simple. We're simple people. What do you say? And what did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if people, we've learned one thing, we love ourselves. We really do. You say, well, I don't even really like myself the way that I look. No. Do you understand that you wouldn't even care about the way you looked if you didn't like yourself? Love your neighbor as yourself. We're to care for other people as much as we care for ourselves. Say, what has this got to do with murder? Well, I'm going to try to explain it to you. And this vacuum we're talking about is a love vacuum. And murder increases in a love vacuum. Well, what is murder in God's eyes? We have to consider that God defines murder, and this is deep, folks. Get this. We must consider that God defines murder as any thought or feeling of deep-seated hatred or malice against another person. 1 John chapter 3, last passage I'll share with you today, and then we'll close. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. For this is the message, and let me make this clear before I go on. When the term brother is used here, it is talking about the brethren. It is talking about men, women, it's across the board, it's the family of God, and it's everybody who's involved, and it's certainly everybody who's here. Verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Verse 13. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Man, this is good stuff. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. I'm going to read verse 15 for you. Underline it. Know it. Memorize it. Get it. And this is where the seed's going to pop inside of you. You're going to be like, I get it. Verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In other words, if you take away love, hate increases, and murder is the result. Jesus takes the bar on that high jump and he goes, here. You can't do it alone, but I'm going to equip you, and we can do it together. I'd like for you to do me a favor. We do this from time to time at Impact Church. Take your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, just set everything down. It can even that paper there, that Word of God, can be a distraction. Just set it all down for a minute for me. Don't zip things up and get your purses ready and all that stuff and everything else. And, you know, just get quiet and still. Is there a seed within you that, to be honest, if we're honest with ourselves, we know what it is? There's somebody we don't like. There's a bitterness. There's a hatred. There's jealousy. There's an arrogance. There's a seed that's within us, and as we get that seed and we look at that seed, we've got to understand that seed has to be removed, or we're not going to experience what God wants us to have to the fullest degree. I don't like using words never and always, but I will tell you this. If you leave that seed untouched and you leave that seed unattended to, it will always get worse and it will never get better. You'll just get bitter. And that seed will grow. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are nodding your heads. You don't have to. That's good, but this is one of those not amen moments, but oh me. And you know what that seed is, and you know who it's with. My prayer today is that God will burden you so much. I don't even know who you are, but I know a God who knows you. I'm going to pray that God burden you. As the Bible says, like hot coals on top of your head, that God would burden you until you deal with this. Can I tell you this? There is a deep bitterness I dealt with that I shared in the first service. I'll share it with you, and then I promise I'll close. And it's a shorter story than the pedicure story, all right? I don't think anybody here has ever met my daughter, Rachel. I shouldn't have used her name. Sorry about that, hon. But anyways, forget we're live. But my two daughters, you think that I'm a pastor, so I'm not capable of some of these things. You hurt my kids, I'm going to hurt you back. And my standards are pretty high. And my daughter met this guy. I used to call him a clown, but God's changed my mind. But she met this guy, started dating him. And for everybody else to just listen, I know we got young people scattered about, we got a large group over here, but she met this guy. She'd known him her whole life. She falls in love with him, she really does, starts to date him. And I'm mortified. Never did like him. That seed was planted. There was even some valid reasons for the seed. Can I just share that with you? That there's real reasons people give us not to like them. But we have to deal with the seed. She gets engaged to him. In many, many ways, she becomes abused. Physically, verbally, emotionally. There was even a period of time where he abducted her and kept her for 3 days. We didn't know where she was and didn't know where he was. It was so malicious. He took her phone, took her credit cards. She tried to go to a pop machine to charge a Coke so I could see where they were by the bank account being ringed up on the charge card. And he held her against her will for 3 days. I can't explain it. She's not a stupid person at all. She finished high school in 3 years, then finished college in 3. She's a smart kid. She's a lady now, but this hasn't been that long ago. She married him. And then one day they had to move in with us, and we didn't mind. If anything, I saw it as an opportunity to get to know him, love him, like him some more, and I was struggling with it. I'm down setting up for church one day down at the school. I get a call from my wife. I can hear my daughter screaming in the background, and he's choking her. And he decided he was going to choke her, and then he was going to kill himself. I happened to be chaplain for the police department at that time. They probably saved me from a seed of bitterness and anger from doing some things that I shouldn't. I said, hang up the phone, hon, call the police, and just tell them to get there. I beat them there. By the time I got there, and God did this, he was already gone. He had escaped out the back door of the basement. We had a walkout basement. The officers, it's my job to minister to them and to help them through deep and hurtful times, young people. They came to me. Well, one of the first things was they said, where's your weapon? And I said, I have it on. They said, go lock it up in your nightstand for 24 hours. We've got your house taken care of. And one of them pulled me aside and said, we need to talk. I'm going to be transparent with you. You don't have to ask me back. I hope you do, but Young people, I'm going to tell you, I hated that guy. But through people speaking with me, unfortunately, she got divorced. Actually, I say fortunately she got divorced. That's a moral story for another day. We can debate that. She's met another man. He's a godly dude. They both work at a church. We have a beautiful grandbaby. I hated this guy. But I had to ask God to take this seed from within me and remove it. And what I found out, he wanted to remove it, but I had to let go. I'm talking to you as a pastor who was a church planter, who was a missionary at that time. And if I'm not above letting that seed grow into hatred, neither are you. And it really started out, I just didn't like him. But God has helped me today. We live in the same town. Y'all have been to Lebanon. It's not very big. We live in the same town. Never seen the guy. Never come across him. Because in the beginning, I was kind of hoping to run into him. I had it all set up in my mind how it was going. I was going to be in the Walmart, and I was going to walk down aisle 12, and I was just going to deck him. Just say, you deserve that. God began to yank the seed from me. And I can honestly say, I wish him well. I do love him. It's not like I love him, but I don't like him. You know what? He's not a bad guy. He did bad things. And it impacted me, but I don't hate him. And I want him and his new family to go to heaven. And I want him to be blessed. I don't want him to experience God. And when I let that seed go, then and only then was I free to worship as I should. Where is the seed within you? It's more than killing. It's a heart issue. And when we begin not to like somebody or become bitter, it will grow and it will manifest. I'd like for everybody to stand, every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed, nobody looking around. This is another part we do every week in Impact. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Brother Mark here in just a moment, but for this time right now, I'd like for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. I've got a question for you, and then we're going to close this part. We're going to go into a time called invitation, and some of you are familiar with it, but with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to describe to you what the opportunity is. This is an opportunity that for an event to happen. And the event could be for you to step out from where you are and to come down to this altar and ask Jesus to work in your heart and to work in your life. And ask Jesus to say, you know what, Jesus, it's more than you just taking the seed from me. It's me letting it go and allow God to work with you. Young people, I don't know if it's bitterness with one another, or adults, if it's bitterness for whatever, or not liking or hating or whatever the case is, but all I know is that God's very clear through this. There is no room for it in my kingdom. And may his kingdom come. May his will be done on this earth as it would be done in heaven. And there's no room for it in heaven. So may we get busy today as you reflect in your heart and soul and mind to allow God to work in you. Dear Heavenly Father, my prayer is today that people remember nothing about me, about my wife. Lord, I pray they forget about packing eggs. Lord, my prayer is they would reflect on the seed that may be within them. They'd rejoice in the day that they let it go. And they leave this altar and they leave this place and go and seek the person out where they've got to get things right and get things together. God, we thank you for this. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name I pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Bartlett Baptist Church, and we thank you for being a part of our family today. If you would like to connect with someone about what you've just heard, or if you want more information about the family at Bartlett Baptist, our office number is 901-333-3350, and we are located at 3465 Kirby Whitten Parkway in Bartlett, Tennessee. Please visit us on the web at bartlettbaptist.org, join us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Bartlett Baptist. Thank you, and have a blessed day.